sir.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, well, on that note, I don't have anything on political or anything like that, so liberals, they're bad. So I know. My dad didn't raise me anything about government or anything like that. He didn't teach me anything. So all I know about, I don't know anything about that. So so tonight I want you to turn your Bibles to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. I will. Genesis 28. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for being good to us, Lord, and just that good singing. Lord, I pray you'd help me with this message. Just let me get the points that you want me to go across, Lord. Just speak through me. And Lord, touch hearts and keep myself out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, actually, he was talking about the political. I do have something to say on that. And we went to the Trenton Courthouse, State House, something like that, this Tuesday, our college did. And it was very boring. And we had to sit through it. We sat through it. It was like a service thing, and it was like our prayer or something. And this guy preached, and it was a good message, you know, patriotic. I was like, yeah, you know, red, white, and blue. But it was a prayer. And then we left, and I love prayer, but, I mean, it was just kind of dry. You know what I'm saying? So we left, and we're out there, and we're waiting. And this is the middle of the city, New Jersey, you know, Trenton. It's, you know, people going everywhere. So we're on the sidewalk waiting for the buses to come back. And our bus just left. Our bus driver just left to go get a bus. And so I knew we had a couple minutes. Well, everybody from the college was standing over here, and some of them had left, but some of them were standing. And there was this guy sitting right behind them, you know. And he was in, you know, he was wearing this jacket, and he had a crumbled up newspaper. And he's just kind of just dazed off. And I saw a track in his hand, but, I mean, when people get tracks, sometimes they don't read them. So I was like, well. And I had my Bible because we had just went to that service. So I was like, oh, well, I got time, you know. And so I sat down next to him and said, hey, how you doing? You know, he told me his name's Timmy. And I said, you know, I said that track, and I told him what it was about, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, what do you think about salvation? He's like, yeah, I'd like to hear about it. I'm like, okay. So I went through the Romans Road real easy, and he's like, yeah. He's like, I understand it. He said, I've heard it before. He said, I just never accepted it. So I'm like, okay. And so, you know, I talked to him a little bit more, and he was like, yeah, man. He said, sounds like a good deal. I'd love to do it. You know, we prayed right there, and he got saved.
Amen.
And so that's the only thing I got on the government and political stuff, is I got to lead some guy to the Lord right in front of Trenton Capitol Building. So that's the only thing I got. But, okay, Genesis 28, this is the six things that you can learn from Jacob's life, well, this chapter of Jacob's life anyway. So this is talking about Jacob. He had already stole the blessing and everything, and when he did that, Esau got angry, and he knew Esau was going to get angry, so he knew he had to flee. But before he flees, and, you know, after he messes up, you know, he goes to the man of God. And my first point is pay attention, you know, always pay attention to the man of God, because even though you messed up, even though he messed up, it didn't affect, you know, God still had a message for him from, you know, the man of God. And now, not all messages come through the man of God. Sometimes it comes through the book, and most times it comes through the book. And but the man of God, I believe that God puts a man in your life, and I believe he's, like, your pastor. And, like, you know, I'm at college. You know, Brother Charlie teaches a lot of the classes. And God puts the men in your life, I believe, to, you know, give you something that you didn't see. And sometimes you do see it, you just ignore it, and then God gives you somebody to scream at you, and then hopefully you get it. And that's happened to me a lot. And sometimes it's not even the preacher. Sometimes it's my dad, and he yells at me. So, so pay attention. You know, my dad's always yelling. I mean, all the way through my life, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, yelling, pay attention, pay attention. I always break things, pay attention, pay attention. So, I mean, this point was right to me. Pay attention. Don't be dumb, you know. And so this was, I mean, really personal when I was reading that. I'm like, man. So, and Isaac called, and Jacob blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Paneram and to the house of Bethel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty, and he goes down and tells him, you know, blessings and stuff like that. He gives him blessings and all that. But what he said was, he said, go do something, you know. And I kind of just applied it practically almost, you know. My dad always told me, do this, do that, you know, and I'm, you know, gotta do it. If not, I get yelled at. And that's, I mean, this is him just, you know, listen to Isaac. All he's got to do is listen to the man of God, because God had orchestrated this, that if he didn't listen to Isaac, he could have went any other way. I mean, he could have literally just pointed and just went, and he wouldn't end up where he was supposed to. You know, he could have took a daughter of Canaan. And the thing about paying attention is listen and pay attention. Because there's a difference between hearing and listening, you know. And because you can listen and hear, but there's two different things. So listening is, I got it in my notes somewhere. So hearing is simply the act of perceiving sound by the ear. So you can hear something. I can hear Pastor up here every Sunday. And I can hear him preach, but that doesn't mean I'm listening. That doesn't mean I'm taking in consideration what he's saying. And so you need to listen. Listening is something that you consciously choose to do. Listening requires concentration. So what Jacob did, he listened to his father, and, you know, he didn't just say, well, it's just something he's saying, you know, because I'm sure he heard his dad say a lot of nonsense, you know. And, I mean, everybody says nonsense, but you got to pay attention, because if not, you know, you might get off on the wrong track. Maybe God had to orchestrate it to that point, you know. And what we're getting taught in leadership, because we got a class on leadership, and Butch Holly always talks about, you know, effective leaders always pay attention, always pay attention. And not even when it's boring, they always attentive, because there might be something, even when it's boring, that's right. Going to help you later on. Amen. And he's always talking about pay attention. You know, so that was really, I mean, good for me, just pay attention. And if Jacob didn't pay his attention here, who knows if there's a land of Israel? I mean, who knows if there's a people of Israel? Because, I mean, he could have literally went anywhere. And you'll see that in verse 7, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan-Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took him the wives, which he had Mahalath, and the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. I'm not good at pronouncing names, but so Esau heard him. Now Esau was listening too, and you know, you can listen and do something stupid too, because he listened and he heard what he said, you know, and it was good, but he heard it and he said, you know, I'll do the exact opposite. If you hear him say something, don't do the exact opposite. It's called rebellion, and rebellion's, you know, the sin of witchcraft. Yeah, that's what the book says, and I love the book. And so always pay attention to the man of God, and always pay attention to the book, because you never know. You could be in Chronicles. You know, Kenny Baldwin preached at Camp Meeting at New Manna a couple weeks ago, and he preached on, you know, he started off his message, he was preaching out of Chronicles, and if you know anything about Chronicles, it was the genealogy part, and I'm like, whoa, why is he turning here? And he's like, everybody in the room just went, whoa, didn't they? He's like, why are we turning here? He said, and this is why. And then he went on this rant, probably quoted Psalms 119, the whole thing. Literally, I mean, just yelling, hollering. He's like, I believe inspired, word of God, you know. It was great. I was pumped, man. I love it. So that was pumping me up. And he was saying how the book, even when it gets boring, it's still got something for you. He was talking about, I think it was Jabez or something like that. He asked God, you know, help him. He's talking about who's got the attitude of Jabez or something like that. It was some random guy. But it was great, man. And the book always will talk to you if you're listening. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you're having a bad day. If you're listening, the book will talk. And that's just the way it works.
That's right.
And so listening takes effort. You need to pay attention. Take effort out of your Sunday and any other time and pay attention to God and the man of God. So my points, kind of, you know, two points, because they all, the 2 points go together. So this would be the next, like, sub-point after that one. So, I'm looking for my, I can't read my notes, it's like hieroglyphics. And he lighted up, verse 11, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. So I'm only going to go to the first part of that. So that place. And he calls it that place. And later on, you hear it referred to as Bethel and, you know, where he meets God and stuff. And you got to have a place. And this is my thing. God is the God of everywhere. He's the God of outer space. He's the God of anywhere and everywhere you can see and where you can't see. But the thing about it is God likes when you're in your life that there's places that you'll have. You know, and Matthew 6, there it is. Matthew 6, 6, you don't got to turn there. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And that's saying, you know, you got to have a place, and there's places in my life, and everywhere I go, I went to Maine like a week ago, and I find a place. There's like little stones of rocks, and that's where I found my place there. And I got a place at home, and Jersey, I got a place. Everywhere I go, I try to find a place, because I believe God likes when you get alone with him in certain places, you know. Amen. God likes to be special, you know, just like any relationship, a friend. You know, I got friends that there's certain places, you know, where, like, bring back memories. And God likes that. God wants to be sentimental. God wants to have a personal relationship. He don't want to be just, oh, there's God. He wants to be, you know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. All them names, he wants to be them to you. And he wants to be personal, you know. If you read the book of Psalms, it's an amazing book. And when you start reading it, it'll help your prayer life because it'll show you the characteristics of God. And it'll show you everything about God. David goes through, and that's, I mean, it's an amazing book. It'll help your prayer life, I'm telling you. And literally, man, you'll have so much to say to God That, and God likes that. God likes to have a good conversation with us. Yeah. He don't want you to just, well, there's God, you know, another day. And he wants you to be thankful, you know. He wants you to be just praising him. And the way you praise him is you got to know, you know, who he is. You can't just be like, well, it's just God. Amen, amen. You're not going to just shout on God. You're going to shout on the things he does for you. Amen. And, I mean, and who he is. You're going to shout on them things. The more you learn about him, the more you want to shout. Yeah. You know, you hear guys that are, you know a lot about him. They want to shout because they know who he is. You know, if you don't know who he is, you don't want to shout. But the more you read this, is the more you learn about it, it makes you want to shout, you know?
Right, right.
And so you want to have a place. You want to make it sentimental between you and God, you know, have a relationship and have a place you guys can look back and say, man, you remember this and remember that? And so my next point is, and later on in that verse, so 11, after place, and put them for his pillows and lay down in the place to sleep. And when I first read this, there's two things I got out. The first thing was, you know, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So he's a stone. You know, it talks about him, okay. And the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. So I'm like, oh, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. You know, he laid on the cornerstone. And then if you read over in John 14:26, it talks about him sending the comforter. So I'm like, man, he's a cornerstone, and then he comforts you, because you can't lay on a stone and be like, man, this is comfy. But he comforts you through the night, and you get to sleep all night. So I'm like, man, that's awesome, you know. But then I was like, I'm going to apply this for this message. And I'm like, well, this would even be better. So I'm like, through your hard times, right? The stones are your hard times in life, you know. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to have stones that you're going to have to lay down on. But Jesus will comfort you, you know. And so that's what I saw. I saw, you know, there's going to be hard times. And this is, Jacob had a hard time. And it's just a symbolic, you know, thing. And, but he lays down on it, and he goes right to sleep. You can't go to sleep. I mean, if you ever try to lay on a stone, it's really hard. It hurts, you know. But Jacob fell right to sleep. And I believe the reason why is because God comforted him.
Amen.
You know. And I believe God will comfort you in your, you know, your hard times. And that'll tie into my next point, the pillar. So, and he dreamed, let me read on down. Okay, so verse 18, Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And so Jacob takes his pillows, right, and he turns them into pillars. And the thing about that is the hard times, he'll take them hard times that he comforts you through, and then he'll make you build them up for memorial. And he sees that through, you know, when you go through when the Israelites go through the Jordan, you know, he makes them take rocks and build up a memorial so their sons and daughters and all of them could see it, you know, so they can look back on a memorial. And this is just like that. It's, I mean, exact same principle. You go through a hard time, God comforts you through it, and then in the morning when the day breaks, when the sun comes through, you take them and you build them up. That way, next time when you see them, you'll say, man, I remember that. In that place,
that's right.
You know. And in that place of prayer, you'll be able to build up them pillars. And you'll say, man, I remember that, you know. And so the pillar. So turn your pillows in a pillar. Your pillows in a pillar. Yeah, that's a tongue twister. Your pillows in the pillars, you know, so that way you can remember them. Don't let them just be pillars. Don't let them just be stumbling blocks. If not, you'll stumble and say, man, God, why'd you put me through it? You know, orchestrate them. Put them in big pillars. That way you can remember. Say, man, I remember when God moved.
That's good.
And so down in 21, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. So, and this is where I got confused, to tell you the truth. I was like scratching my head. So this one took me about a week to figure out. And so that I come again to my father's house in peace, and then shall the Lord be my God. So he says, and then shall the Lord be my God. And I never understood. I'm like, why wouldn't you just take him now? You just seen everything you just done. And, you know, he sees a vision and all that. And it confused me, and it shows me how hard a human can be, really. They see all that great things, and, you know, you see the children of Israel, they see all that amazing things, and they still turn back. And just like him, he sees all that great vision, and he knows God's there, and he says, you know, when I come back, you'll be my God. Whoa, what? That's crazy. And like you said, just put conditions on God. Why would you do that, you know? God could have had him right there and gave him peace, and didn't have to. Who's Esau, you know? God made Esau. I mean, that's not even a thing.
Yeah.
Why are you worried about Esau?
Man.
But he didn't think that, you know, he just, you'll be my God back later, you know. And that's so many Christians now. They say, man, they got to show him his comfort. He'll show him his, you know, just everything about God, his characteristics. And they say, you know what, sometime I'll get right.
Yeah.
What? Sometime you'll get right.
Yeah.
That wows me that he said that, and it applies so much to us Christians. We say, well, I'll get right back down the road.
Amen.
Man, I want the peace now. You know, if he would have made God his God then, he would have immediately had peace. Yeah. Just like a Christian, if you make God your God now and you worry about God, amen. It says, you know, if you worry about the kingdom of God, I'll add all things unto you, in Matthew, I think. You know, and if you worry about kingdom of God, he'll take care of the rest. Jobs, all that good stuff, he will take care of that, you know. And if you choose God this day, he will become your God, and he will take care of the rest. And that's just the way it works. Right. And he knew that. He knew how it worked, and he just didn't choose him. Right. So choose God today. That way you have the peace today and not tomorrow. And he had to wait 20 years to get the peace. Right. You know, when he comes back, he gets the peace. That's for sure. But God blessed him. You know, God will still bless you as a Christian. He'll still bless you. You're his son. You're his daughter. I mean, when you're saved, God will bless you. But, I mean, I don't think that, you know, you won't have the peace. You know, it says, and when I come back, I'll have the peace. So I believe when he comes back, he gets that peace, and then he's able to go face his brother Esau when he could have did it 20 years earlier. And his life, 20 years could have been great, you know, with God.
That's right.
And so if you read on, you'll see, you know, he listens to God, or no, he listens to the man of God. Then he pays attention. He finds a place that he can meet with God. Then, you know, he gets the pillows, then he turns them into pillars, and you'll find the peace. He'll get the peace later on because he won't choose God now. And then he also gets the power when he gets the peace. And this one's not in the in this part, but if you turn over to Genesis 32:28, you'll see this is when he gets it all. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So what I don't understand is we as Christians, we're able to get the peace and the power, but we don't choose it. So this is my last point. You know, if you come to God, you get the peace and the power. Why wouldn't you want those two things?
Right.
Those are two things. I'm like, man, I want the power. You know, my dad, I mean, he loves horsepower. Like in his big trucks and all, he loves it. I mean, he wants it turned up as much as he can. He loves it. You know, and Pastor Ryan, I know he likes horsepower. And if you're a man, you just love horsepower. You just love it. You like power, you know. You like muscles. You like horsepower. It's just a thing about you. And I didn't understand about Jacob. And I know it said he was a simple man, you know, and he wasn't like his brother Esau, and he was like all manly, but he wasn't manly at all. But still, man, Esau is just not a manly guy. Still, you want the peace and the power.
Amen.
And you see after that, you know, God starts, you know, blessing him. And then, you know, right here, God, you know, God touch his hip, and it'll come out of joint, and then he'll walk with a limp. And, you know, it talks about, you know, I hear a bunch of old preachers say, well, if God touched you, you'll know, because you won't walk the same way.
Amen.
You know, I believe that.
Amen.
Because he had the power, he had the peace and the power, and he didn't need himself. So when God did that, he took the power away from his flesh and put it in his spirit. And I believe, you know, when God touches you, you won't want your flesh to have power, because your power don't got flesh, or your flesh don't got power. It's just, it doesn't. It doesn't have peace either. You know, you always got ailments, and a big thing now is anxiety. You know, you don't have that, you know, if you're, you know, worried about God.
Right.
You know, when you make God you get the peace, and then you get the power.
Amen.
You know, so those are the things. You know, choose God now, and you'll have peace and power.
Amen.
And that's all I got.